The later batches of holiday cards arrived at our house last week, and as my husband and I were opening them, we found one from our cousins who had recently moved to California with their newborn. It featured a family photo with themed dress and the slogan, "Happy New Year." But the greeting below that felt more wistive, more tentative. "May this year be better than the last," it read, before drifting off into an ellipsis. That seems to be a wish I think we all harbor, that 2021 will mark an improvement over 2020, and that things across our country and around the world will improve as the current pandemic starts to abate. Yet those of you who are fans of alternative rock will also recognize the greeting as being a snippet of lyrics from a song recorded more than 20 years ago by the California band called Counting Crows. Their song, "A Long December," was written for a friend of theirs who had been hit badly by a car and spent the next several months being treated for severe injuries. The smell of hospitals in winter and the feeling that it's all a lot of oysters but no pearls, the band crooned. "It's been a long December, and there's reason to believe. Maybe this year will be better than the last," they sang. "I can't remember all the times I tried to tell myself to hold on to these moments as they pass." The poignancy of the Counting Crows song is memorable, and its haunting melody stays close. Clipping the cousin's New Year's card onto our snowflake display at home, I hummed a few bars of it to myself. The lead singer of the band later talked about the experience of composing it. It was recorded the day after it was written, shortly after he got back from visiting his friend in the hospital. It's a song about looking back on your life and seeing changes happening, and for once, for me, looking forward and thinking, things are going to change for the better. Maybe this year will be better than the last. And so, like a lot of songs, it's not about everything turning out great, he explained. But at least it is about hope and the possibilities that might lie ahead. Possibilities that include recovery and rehabilitation alongside renewal. We tend to regard both New Year's Eve and New Year's Day as secular holidays, but I think that each has real spiritual import. We should take care to mark the time because the time certainly takes care to mark us. With the year we have just had, who can deny that? In certain Protestant churches, though, New Year's Eve has long been a meaningful religious event. It started out as a Moravian observance in the early 1700s. Then John Wesley introduced what were known as watch night services to the Methodist Church in 1740. They provided abstemious Methodists with a spiritual alternative to public debauchery. A liturgy for the service still appears in the United Methodist Book of Worship. But watch night services these days are best known for the place they hold in the Black church tradition. The Emancipation Proclamation that President Lincoln signed into law in September 1862 famously did not take place until January 1st, 1863. Throughout the southern states, enslaved African Americans stayed awake on December 31st, looking forward to the dawning not only of a new year, but also of a new era in American history. Watch Night is sometimes called Freedom's Eve in certain churches for this reason. Though a civil war raged all about them, the enslaved persons who anticipated finally being legally emancipated indeed had reason to believe that the coming year would be better than the last. Throughout this program year, I have been preaching a sermon series on the ultimate aims of liberal religion, as they were articulated by the Reverend Dr. James Luther Adams in the mid-20th century. A former minister of this congregation, Dr. Adams was also a noted social ethicist and prominent theologian. In what he dubbed the Five Smooth Stones, he enumerated a handful of key beliefs. First, that revelation is ongoing, and our understanding can always be deepened. Second, that we need to be free to enter into mutual relationships and form communities of consent. Third, that we are morally obligated to make efforts for the greater good of those communities. Fourth, that we must commit ourselves to social organizations that benefit others, and fifth, that we should always hold out hope. Today, we look to the third of those, our moral obligations to our communities. Because the establishment of a just and loving community was something Dr. Adams considered to be a religious imperative, he contended, "The holy thing in life is the participation in those processes that give body and form to universal justice." Again and again in the history of our civilization, this prophetic idea of the purpose of God in history comes to new birth, he explained. The reign of sustaining, commanding, transforming reality is the reign of love, a love that fulfills and goes beyond justice, a love that cares for the fullest personal good of all. This love is not something that is ultimately created by us or that is even at our disposal. It seizes and transforms life. This liberating and life-giving spirit is what the faithful were watching for on that original Freedom's Eve, and they believed, they trusted in its transcendent power. It is a power we may trust to heal the wounds of the common life and engender sharing in community, Dr. Adams surmised. In history and in the human heart, there are destructive as well as creative powers. These destructive powers are manifest in the social as well as in the individual life, he maintained. Lately, we have seen destructive and, yes, deadly forces loosed on our social life, with some people defying public health orders and refusing to take common sense precautions to protect the most vulnerable in our midst. They seem to embody those worst impulses that Dr. Adams warned against, namely, letting our immediate individual concerns trump our shared social interests. These people seem to be looking out for themselves only, and looking out for themselves not very well. Later this month, we will welcome a new administration into the White House, but inaugurating another president will not alter our national prospects in the near term. The current head of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention cautioned that Americans could soon be faced with what he forecasts will be the most difficult time in the public health history of this nation. Other public health officials have noted that the surge in coronavirus cases is expected to follow the December holidays and will peak in mid to late January. Despite the availability of vaccines, the first quarter of 2021 could see the pandemic worsening in our country. One projection even has the tally of American deaths exceeding 500,000, half a million, by the end of March. The wounds we are now sustaining in our common life, to borrow Dr. Adams' phrase, are considerable. As eager as we are to usher 2020 off the calendar, we cannot lose sight of all the ways the outbreak of the pandemic proved diagnostic of our worst social ills in America. We may not know the precise remedies we will take yet, but we have a clearer sense of all that needs to be remedied. We have a strong sense that we cannot just reemerge from the pandemic. We have to be willing to be transformed by it. In turn, we have to be willing to transform our ailing society. We have to call upon the life-giving spirit to help us make death-denying choices. It was a long December for all of us, I know, and it came at the end of a difficult year. Some of you have a friend of your own in the hospital who you have not been able to visit. At this moment, you would welcome the smells of hospitals in winter that the counting crows lamented. Some of you have had family members in the hospital and have been unable to see them there. Some of you have lost loved ones to COVID-19 and to other so-called excess deaths in this past year related to the massive demands placed on our healthcare system. Some of you have held memorial services that were capped at 10 or 25 people in attendance. Some of you tested positive for the virus and passed the holidays in quarantine in a room or two at home. Some of you feared for the safety of your elders living in congregate situations. Some of you spent your first holiday season away from your children and your parents, your siblings and your cousins, and find the sorrow of that lingering. Of course, you will want to be free of such pain in the coming year. My prayer is that you will be, that everyone, everywhere will be. The community of justice and love is not an ethereal fellowship that is above the conflict and turmoil of the world. It is one that takes shape in history, Dr. Adams observed. Freedom, justice, and love require a body as well as a spirit. This public health crisis reminds us how interdependent we are on one another for survival and how vulnerable we humans are to the vagaries of history. Perhaps paradoxically, our enforced isolation has reminded us of our moral obligations to one another. We are bound into history and bound together too. But the spirit of the ages always keeps us company, and we can invite that into our days. The watch night vigil kept by Moravians, Methodists, and others gave communities of the faithful a time to reflect upon the year that was ending and to contemplate the year that was beginning. While we do not hold watch night services here at UU Wellesley Hills, I suspect that several of you engage in individual exercises of looking back at the end of December and looking ahead at the start of January. The ceaseless flow of endless time no one can check or stay. We'll view the past with no regret nor future with dismay, we sang in our hymn this morning. The past and the future meet in the eternal now. That eternal now is a spiritual space where we are able to gain perspectives on our lives and the series of days that comprise them. I hope you will find yourself in such spiritual space at the start of 2021. I hope that it can be a time when you release what has already happened and open up to a future that is still emerging. The current pandemic projections for 2021 are based on models and numbers, and outcomes may improve based on our collective behavior in America, whether it changes or not. If we observe state-issued mandates, for instance, and wear masks and get vaccinated when it is our turn. We are not likely to forget 2020 anytime soon, but we can all take care that things are actually different in 2021, and we can take better care of one another, too. At the 11th hour, the day beforehand, my husband and I decided to open up a Zoom room on New Year's Eve for some friends and family. Since we were all kept apart from each other this holiday season anyway, distance was no longer an issue. In those oysters, impossibly, were some pearls. We could even invite the cousins who moved across the country to California, although unfortunately they were not able to join us at that time. But we had people on the call from Washington, D.C., and New York City, and Boston. Because we were not in our respective places viewing fireworks bursting overhead or lit balls dropping in Times Square, we could be with one another in another kind of way, a quieter way, and yes, a more watchful way. We turned to one another with closer attention, loving attention. A couple of our New York friends had lost family members to the coronavirus, and the mood was subdued, almost bittersweet. As was so in our New Year's parties in the past, I recognized that this one had a set liturgy, though I had never called it that before. We said what we were eager to ring out with the passing year, and we toasted what we wanted to continue into the new year. And we gave voice to those hopes we harbored for our shared futures. At the end, we sang Auld Lang Syne badly, with that strange time lag that comes with online singing, and laughed awkwardly at the sound of ourselves at a remove. We sang about taking a cup of kindness yet, and entertained some reveries about what it would be like to take the cup together. Then I heard the counting crows again in my head, crooning about what a long December it had been, and reminded myself that it was finally coming to its close. I suppose we all had some good reason to believe. Maybe this year will be better than the last.